All right, so 1 Corinthians, please turn to chapter 12 and stand with me if you're able to. We're going to be looking at a message that I'm going to call today, Care for One Another. So if you're able to, stand with me as we open here. We're going to start from verse 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to start at verse 12. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12, it says, "For as the body is one, and it has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit." Verse 14, "For in fact the body is not one member, but many." Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for your holy word. Thank you for the ability to come together in this gathering in the name of Jesus on the Lord's Day. We dedicate this time, this place, and ourselves to you. Jesus, you paid for us. We're bought at a price, the price of your blood. You set us free. Hallelujah. We thank you for this new life, this new beginning, this new family, this new hope. Everything's new. A new word. We have a new God, a new hope, a new Lord. But teach us these things, Lord. Help us. Enlighten us. Open up our understanding of these spiritual truths within your word, for we ask in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you. You guys could have a seat if you would, please. So we're all brought into this one family, this one body. We looked at this in first service. I'm going to throw this out to you guys as well. If you were in first service, okay, you're not allowed to answer this one. Okay, so when you take a step with your body, your physical body, how many muscles do you think you need to take that one step? Any guesses? 10 muscles? The whole body starts with your right? Give me a number, guys. And if you were here, a bunch of you were here for service, you know the answer. 613, okay, 10, 613, 50, I heard, 1,000. So if you, cheater, so if you were to Google for that, so to speak, I found this from our very own Jamaica Hospital Medical Center. How many muscles do we take? Do we use to take a single step forward? We use 200 muscles to take a single step forward. 200. Think about that. You've got a picture. Now God's using Paul. He's the guy behind the pen here to show you and I, hey, although God's given you gifts of grace, they're individual, they're specific, they all come from one Holy Spirit. They all are used in various ministries where Jesus is Lord over, and God gives the outcome, the effect, wholly different than anybody else. It's wonderfully, beautifully creative and unique. You get an individual spiritual gift. We're all in one body. Now, he's tapping into this illustration, this picture of your physical body. Look at your physical body. A lot of body parts, right? You take 200 muscles just to take one little baby step. We got some babies here, right? Got a bunch of them, actually, praise God. Around the time, 11 months, 1 year, that's when they start to stand and take their first step. And we learned from the wonderful Jamaica Hospital Medical Center, it takes about 200 muscles. Now, it takes 200 of them. They all have to coordinate, right? Amen? They have to be unified. That's an illustration, a picture, a metaphor of you and I, even here in the body of Christ, in this local church. We must be unified in order to take steps moving forward. Amen? So that's what Paul is tapping into here. Now, the background of the Corinthian church, they were kind of dividing. Their divisions, some of them were backbiting. They're carnal, we might say, the carnal Corinthians. That's kind of how we all are. So we all have to understand and recognize this. And God's pointing us to a new path, a new way, a new hope. Amen? So what we're to do is to be working together, just like these 200 muscles that have to work together in unity. When you get older, I think we might use more than 200. You're like, oh, my back, oh. It takes more. You start compensating. I get like that. So it's this thought, the church is brought into one body. want to highlight this phrase here as we open up with this paragraph, verses 12 to 14. Into one body. Un. How do you say it in Espanol? Un body? Un cuerpo? Cuerpo. Okay, what she said. I can't say. You Spanish speakers, everything sounds better in Spanish. So we need to come together in one body. We must stay unified. And we're all guilty of this, including me, maybe especially me. I only have the ability to see myself and how God might confront and rebuke me. So each of us must share in the work. Each of us is important. Each of us is unique. We are all brought into this one body. And we must work together towards a common goal. So here's, when you look at this chapter, God willing, we'll go through it. We'll break it down a little bit. So I'll give you some of the highlights. We're all individual. We're all brought into one body, just like the 200 muscles that it takes just to take one step. We have to be unified to move forward. Amen? We have to work together, not doing our own thing. And it's to work towards a common goal. And what is that? Pleasing God. We all want to know God's will. Who wants to know God's will? We all want to, right? You want to please God. So let's focus on that as we move forward. So on this slide here, I'll leave it here for a bit, focusing on this phrase, notice we were brought into one body. We're baptized into one body. We're brought out of one thing and now brought into something new, into this new family. So Paul's being used by God to say, hey, Corinthians, you guys are fighting. You need to stay unified. And God's given you spiritual gifts. That's this chapter. You need to use these gifts to love one another, to care for one another. We'll get into that. That's why I'm calling this passage, this teaching, this message for today, care for one another. Okay? So I don't want you to miss this. Please don't miss this. God's given you individual gifts of grace, specific, creative, very unique gifts. But we must be collaborating together in the body. Amen? And it's for what end? That we would glorify God by caring for one another. If you get that, then you got it. Okay? And for you online, you can stay if you want to watch, but that's basically it. We need to get that part of the message. And we all have to work at that, including myself. I know only my heart and my mistakes, so maybe in my heart I'm thinking, wow, I especially need this. Hopefully this will speak to someone here. So we need to work together in this one body that we're brought into one body. We must act as one body. So by God's Spirit, you've been taken out of the world and you're brought into one body. Look around. Take some time. It's okay. Look, I see everybody eyeballs moving forward, but look at each other here. Your neighbors. I like thinking about this. As God brought me into this local place, into this body, I came from, as I said, Southern California. I'm mixed. Me and my wife, we just took the DNA test. You can get them on Amazon. I'm like, wow, I wonder, you know, how mixed. I'm mixed. I don't even know what I am. Okay, I'm a mutt. And I say, in Hawaii, they call it a poi dog. You're just like a mix, street dog. So I got a Japanese last name. My dad was Japanese. My mom's Okinawan. But if you ever see Asians with hair on their arms, you just know they're not full Asian. Okay? So I'm giving you a clue. So I'm mixed. So as I came here, I realized I'm the wrong type of Asian. Like, how many of you meet Japanese Americans that are born and raised here that are involved in ministry? I don't think I've met one. And yet there's a lot of Chinese, a lot of Koreans. You'll meet Vietnamese, Filipino, right? But not too many Japanese. But what I'm saying in that is I found that as God brought me here, and I kind of grew up feeling sometimes, maybe you grew up like this, kind of feeling like the odd man out or odd woman out, odd girl out. Like, I kind of feel like I didn't fit. And it brings me here to Queens. I'm like, this is the most diverse place in North America. Praise God for that, right? This area, I don't know if you guys know that. And even just a little short stone's throw over, the Elmhurst area, the most diverse place. Who here, do you guys know that? A lot of you New Yorkers, you don't even know that. It's like the most diverse place. Tons of different people groups. If you take the 7 train, every stop is like a different country. That's crazy. So a guy like me come from California where all the Spanish speakers, they're all Mexicanos. Come here, like, they're not just Puerto Ricans or Dominicans. Wow, they're like so many different Spanish groups. Colombians, right? All sorts. So when I come here, I realize, well, just like, again, just look around the room. What you and I are doing right now being brought into one body, like the illustration here, this would not be possible even in a church in this town 50, 60, 70, 80 years ago in New York City. Any of you guys know that? Some of you guys don't know? Yes? Because the church is very split, sadly. So as we gather together, Jew and Gentile, various folks coming together, especially in Queens. I love that. I love to be here now being in Queens. Why? Because it's like a little slice of heaven. You get to see it. It doesn't matter what your background is, how much, how dark, how white you are. I got to get some sun. I'm getting pretty white. But we're all brought together into one body. So I see this illustration. I'm like, wow, what a beautiful picture. Especially being able to live and minister in New York City. You see a body that's a body of Christ. You get to heaven. We're not going to see the colors and backgrounds and nationalities, but we gather together here and we see a beautiful picture of that. But the people in Corinth, look at how he's ministering to them. Verse 13, by one spirit they're brought into this one body, whether Jew or Greek, slave or free, they've all been made to drink into one spirit. Now that would have been huge back then because they had different social classes. Like, no, I'm not going to sit and eat with them. Why? Because, you know, that's a street crowd. A little rough rabble kind of folks. I'm not going to sit with them. But we're all brought into one. And it's a wonderful, beautifully creative and unique family. Look around the room. We're all one family here. Okay? We need to stay as one. We're all brought into one family, one body. Just think about this. What are some ways that even us as a church community that we can be one body? You don't have to answer that right now, but think about that. How might the Holy Spirit speak to you that you being part of this one church family, that you can exercise that to love one another within this one body? Why? Because born-again Christians in the family of God, not just this local church, the church at large, globally around the world, we are brothers and sisters in Christ eternally. Just like your families at home or here, no matter how heated things get, hey, you're still family, right? Same thing with the family of God. We're eternally going to be joined with Jesus Christ and with one another. So he reminds us, let's continue on. He reminds us that we're brought into this one body. Verse 15, look at this. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, well, look at your foot. Okay, maybe you're a foot in the body. You provide stability, stance, stabilization. Okay, I'm strong, I can stand, but I'm not a hand. I'm not all that good at working. I can help provide stability, but maybe I'm not a hand. But if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? No, it's still part of the body. Are your feet needed? Oh, yeah. Some of us really know that. As I get older, okay, you younger folks, as you get older, you'll realize my ankle's reminding me, oh, praise God. I get a new body, a glorified body one day, amen? Is it therefore not of the body? No, it still is. How about your ear? If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? Look at this in verse 18. Here's a key for this passage, and I highlighted it here on the display. But now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, look, just as he pleased. We'll come back to that. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? So as he pleased, that's an important phrase for you and I, not just today, not just for this church, but in this passage, this paragraph, you and I were created by God to bring him glory. Amen? And how many of us, we want to know and do God's will? That's all of us, right? Okay, so here you have one of the many passages where you get the written, expressed will of God. When you discover what spiritual gifts you've been given, you discover where you fit in the local church body and how you're to function, it's what? It's done by the will of God. It's to please God. God put you there. God brought you here so that you would fit and function for him to be pleased. You are where you are because he wants to be pleased. Amen? You're created to bring God glory. So you need to, don't be a dead body part. Be an alive and active member, so to speak. Imagine even your physical body if your arm decided to rebel, it's like, I'm not going to work today. Or your leg, one of your legs, pick one of them, left or right leg. Most of you got up and walked in here. I think all of you did, right? But what if one of your legs rebelled? I'm on the Sabbath day today. I'm just going to rest. How would you get here? Well, someone else would pick you up, or you'd have to kind of like hop on one leg, or maybe crutches. That could help. But you got to picture the body. The whole body has to be unified. And again, we learned from our very own Jamaica Hospital, it takes how many muscles just to take one step forward? 200 muscles, they have to be coordinated. Okay, so if one of your legs wanted to rebel, by the way, kids, don't use that as an excuse. Well, you're not, you know. I'm going to stay in bed today, Mom. 200 muscles, just to take one step. Think about running. That's different. It's just walking. 200 muscles, though, for taking one step. So where you are in the body of Christ, if you could figure out the gifts you've been given, where you fit, you will know why you exist right now. Big picture. Here's a big picture. You were created by God to bring glory to God, not to yourself. Amen? To bring glory to God. That's the big picture. That's the general. Specifically, here's what it comes down to. It's always, 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 always like this. I've discovered this, whether ministering on the West Coast or here or in between. And by knowing the Bible a little bit, I'm still learning, growing like you, and applying and ministering God's word, here's what it comes down to. The specifics. The general is, you're created to bring God glory. That's why he created you. Specifically, we're created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works. Ephesians 2, verse 10. The specific is what you got to get to know. Discover where you fit and function. Discover where you fit in the body with the spiritual gifts he's given you. He brought you into this church. So where do you fit within this local church body using the gifts he's given you so you can be an active member, not a dead body part, and you will be pleasing God. You will be discovering the will of God. You will know the very reason why, once you get saved, because you're created in Christ Jesus for good works, you will realize that's why you exist right now. Oh, it's to, you know, be a mom, be a parent. It's to be a husband or a wife or be a mom or dad. That's a small picture because that's temporary, isn't it? But on the eternal level, you and I are going through a test. How many of you know God always gives good tests? And how many of you know God's giving you a test right now today? Maybe it's not what I'm saying, but you know that God's testing you right now today. Each and every one of us, if you keep your eyes and heart open, each and every one of us is being given a test by God. You can have the Bible, you can read the Bible, you can learn the Bible, you can know the Bible. Here's what the teacher says in class. So what? You get there in class, put your books aside. The kid's like, why? Because what do you know is going to happen? Quiz today, test. Okay, there's nothing better, it seems, at times, than when the giver, that's God, he wrote the word, but he's going to give you life, and he also wants to make sure you know the Bible by applying it. Okay, make sense? He's going to give you tests. So here's one of them for this crew, this group here. As we learn about these individual gifts that God gives you and I, and he broke down, we took many weeks going excruciatingly, painfully slow, maybe for some of you. Good. Because now it locks into your long-term memory. Get it? So now you know, okay, here's some of the spiritual gifts. They're gifts of grace. They're given to different members of the body of Christ. The chapter starts off by sharing all these gifts come from the one Spirit. Jesus is Lord over all the ministries they're used in, and the effect or outcome is up to God, that God gives the growth. And you're given individual gifts. You're all members. Now he brings it together at the closing of this chapter. You're all brought into one body. Use these things to not divide, not to say, oh, I want to be like that guy. I want to be like that girl. No, don't get jealous. The ear getting jealous of the eye or vice versa, the hand or foot wanting to be someone else. Learn to get to know who you are in Christ along with the spiritual gifts. Find out where you fit in the body, how you function, and what's going to happen is God's not only going to be glorified, he's going to bless your life. That's what he's done in my life and so many of us. And I start serving God somehow publicly. And what will happen is your life will be pleasing God. I want you to see this. He's going to, again, verse 18, God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. So you're created by God to bring God glory. This speaks of the will of God. Find out how God created you. Who are you in Christ? Not in Adam. That's talking about the old life, like the caterpillar. But now you're the butterfly, so to speak. Amen? Find out how God created you. All right, let's continue on. There we go. Okay, verse 20 and on. But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. So now he's getting that same topic. Many individuals, but brought into this one body. Verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. Look at verse 24. I highlighted one of the key words for this passage, need. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. Verse 25, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. So the word need is a key word in this section. Need. Every member of your body is needed, right? I did this before in first service. If a doctor were to come to you and ask you, hey, pick five parts of your body that you don't want, and we're going to cut them out right now. Well, I saw a shocked look, right? So you'd be like, me, what? I want those. I need those. Okay? Same thing in the body. Your body is an illustration of the body of Christ. Everybody's needed. God created you as special, unique, that he wants to use your life. But everybody's needed. Every member of your body is needed. You would tell the doctor, I want and I need every part. I don't want to give up something, especially if it's an internal organ. I need my heart. Can you survive without that? No, you wouldn't. So in a similar way, in the body of Christ, even here, you and I, we're all needed. We all need each other. We need to pour into each other, not just receive, but pour into one another. Just like if you had the illustration, if you had an arm that rebelled or a leg that rebelled, what would happen to the rest of your body? You would feel the pain, wouldn't you? So if someone's needed here and they're not here anymore, or they're not, maybe they're serving and no longer they're able to serve, we would feel the pain. We all need to love one another. By the way, I'm not the only one that serves. There's over 20 people that are serving here, including many of the kids now. Like, oh, that's so cool. So keep them in prayer. They're the ones that make it happen here. So you guys can come in and get fed. But it's not just them pouring into you. We need to pour into one another. We need to care for one another. That's the picture that you're getting here. Each of you is needed, including me. All of us are. God loves you. And we want you to be here and to pour into one another. Notice this in verse 25. I also highlighted this part in this verse. And here's what it comes down to. I said this earlier, and I don't want you to miss this here as well. In chapter 12, we're getting up to now chapter 12 towards the end of the chapter. Paul starts off by breaking down that there's all these different spiritual gifts. Many different gifts. They all come from the same one spirit. There are many different ministries they could be used in, but Jesus is Lord over all the ministries. And the many different effects or outcomes of how they'll be used, these gifts used by different members in various ministries, different effects or outcomes. You can't copy someone else. Why? The Spirit of God will be wonderfully unique and creative through you. But would you allow him to use you? And now, after talking about the individual and the gifts of grace he gives to each individual, special person, special gifts, he brings it all together. What are they given for? that you would please God. You know, place you where it pleases Him. It's about the will of God for your life. And also notice this, verse 25, He wants you to have care for one another. Now, that might be tough for you and I to swallow. You might sit there and go, oh, Drew, I picked the wrong day to come in. I just want to receive. But each of you plays an important role that you can give someone maybe a word of encouragement, maybe a simple hug. Maybe you need to pray for someone here. And I want to give the body of Christ here. You didn't come to church. We need to be the church. And I want to give us an opportunity later that we can pray for one another. So we need to give the same care for one another. This is the reason why Paul's being used by God to write. Really, it's God. But why Paul's being used by God to write this in there. This is what we call in training people with Bible studies. This is inductive Bible study. You observe. There's different gifts. You interpret. How are these gifts used? You break it down and you bring it together. They're all used in one body. Why? It's so that you would care for one another. Not sit there and go, wow, I got a gift. Wonderful gift. This $1 million pen. And someone else looks at you and goes, great, how's it right? I don't know, but I got a great gift. You have to use that gift. Amen? So whatever gift God's given you, use that, exercise that. Care for one another. Now I'm showing on the display, as you dig into this word for care, I want you to know, look at this in Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to read this. It's here on the display. The only other time that this exact same Greek word is used within the similar context is also by Paul. He writes here in Philippians 2, verse 19 and on, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely use this word care, who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. Hey, you know what Paul is being used by God to do? Is to show you and I, and I'll let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. Here's the one reason why I wouldn't serve God. Because why? I was after my own. And that's why Jesus said, if you want to be a disciple, if you want to follow Jesus, Luke 9 verse 23 shows you a three-step program. What is that? Jesus says, let him. What's step one? Deny self. Like, I don't want to. I want to embrace self. That's why people don't serve other people. Why? Because it's all about me. I need to be served. So Jesus didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. So I need to learn to deny myself. So I could take up my cross. Is the cross something that Jesus had to do for himself? No, he did it for someone else. Who did Jesus take up his cross for? Who? Point. For others. You could also say that's serving people. And he says the third step, follow me. That's Luke 9, verse 23. Take up your cross daily. I need to learn to deny myself. The world says, no, it's all about you. Look after number one, what the world will say. Okay? And that's a problem. So Paul sends Timothy to the church at Philippi. He's like, I don't know anybody else like this. He's got the same heart, the same passion, the same doctrine, the same love, who will pour into you, church at Philippi. Why? Because he's not selfish. And he wants to care for you. This lets you also know how Paul was with the church at Philippi, that he cared for them. He took care of their needs. So I brought this, I did a screen capture, brought it out of my Bible study software. I dug in and did the homework so you don't have to. Caring or providing for. It's also a picture of what mommies do. Mommies can love and nurture and care for the kids. That's what God wants to do here with his family. Do you know that? Do you know, church? Do you know, ladies and gentlemen, that God wants to use you? You might think like, oh, I don't have anything to give. I can't pray for someone else. Well, can you give a word of encouragement to someone else? There's no gift of discouragement, right? Some of you might feel, I know some people that I think they got the gift of discouragement. But God gives a gift to encourage one another. That's a gift. It's a spiritual gift, a supernatural gift. There's various gifts, beautiful gifts. But God wants you to use these gifts for you to care for others. So I love how Paul is used by God to use that same exact Greek word. The only time it's used in the Bible in a similar way, he wrote to the church at Philippi. And one of the problems that he's saying Timothy didn't have, that Paul didn't have, is that this guy's not selfish. He's not seeking his own. So therefore, he can, church at Philippi, we can, church, the cabbage out with the cross, we need to care for one another, but what gets in the way whether it's me or you, what gets in the way of us loving one another, encouraging each other, caring for each other? Point. Who gets in the way? If you're married, don't point to your spouse. This gets in the way, right? So Jesus says, hey, you want to be my disciple? You got to deny yourself. Next, serve someone else. Take up your cross. He says daily. And then follow me. So we all want to be followers of Jesus. It's not going to happen if you're not serving him. Okay? But self gets in the way. He loves you. He wants you to grow. He wants you to mature. Every parent wants that for their child. So what are some ways that we can care for one another? We could pray for each other. I'd love for us to do that today. You can encourage each other. Some of you have a word of encouragement for someone else here. Maybe you're going through it today or this week or this year. We all kind of go through stuff, right? And the closer you get to God, the more your eyes and heart are open to the fact that I'm really going through stuff more. In fact, ever since I said yes to you, Jesus, I feel like I'm going through way more than I ever knew. Oh, boy. Any of you feel like that? Right? No? Some? Some of you go, okay. The closer you get to God, the more you're going to find there's more spiritual warfare. Why? The devil wants you back. He wants to discourage you. But God wants you to keep growing forward. Don't just go for it. Growing forward. So some simple ways that you can care for one another, you could pray for each other. Some of you have a word of encouragement for someone else. Some of you could use God's word to teach someone else here. Some might just need to give someone a smile and a hug and tell them, remind them that God loves them. Maybe someone here needs to comfort someone. You could do that here before you leave. So we're going to close out this chapter. And Susan, can we set up for a time to worship again, if we can? We'll get into communion in just a bit. But as we close, verse 27, now you are the body of Christ. Now he's bringing it back. After giving you the main application, God's given you the gifts. You're an individual member. You need to work together, just like the 200 muscles, just to take a step. You need to be used by God to work in unison with one another. He's now bringing it together as you care for one another. That's why you're given these gifts. You're the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers. After that, miracles and gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Now, these are rhetorical questions. Obviously, not everybody is given all these gifts or all these anointings or appointments. It all comes from God. Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Obviously, no. And as a summary, as we close here in verse 31, we earnestly desire the best gifts. Some might say that one way to interpret that and to apply it is, what are the best gifts, spiritual gifts, I could utilize you for to fit the need of the moment? And maybe God will give you a gift right there on the spot, maybe even today. Or maybe you already have a gift and you didn't even know it, but you got to simply take a step of faith today, a venture of faith, that you would love someone else here. Like, oh, I got to get out of my comfort zone. Yes, because God loves you and wants you to grow. Anybody know that? When you get stuck in a rut, what does the Holy Spirit do many times? He wants you to get out of that rut, right? Maybe some of us are in that rut today. But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. You ready? All right, well, let's all stand, please. And I'm going to ask if anybody here needs prayer. Some of you, maybe you're called to pray for someone else. Everybody here has a prayer request. Everybody here, maybe you need encouragement. But if you want prayer, I'm just going to open it up. We'll have some time where we can have more musical worship. But if before we partake of communion as a church family, let's just love one another. Let's care for one another here. Let's be like the book of James says, where we need to be a doer of the word, not just a, we don't want to just read and hear and deceive ourselves, but be a doer of the word. We want to apply the word. Amen? So maybe if you need prayer for something, I don't know what it is. God knows your heart. And I believe by faith that he brought someone or maybe some of you in that you want prayer right now. Maybe you're really going through it and you just need a warm, encouraging hug and a prayer. Or maybe you need a word of encouragement for someone. But if you want prayer, where you are right now, just simply raise your hand. And if you see, if you're just raising your hand to worship, that's fine too. But if you're raising your hand and you want prayer, I'm going to ask. And we'll, after I close with prayer, we'll just end this time. At least the live stream and the recording. But if there's anybody here that needs prayer, that wants prayer, for whatever it is, and you see someone with their hand raised, then can you just gather around that person? There you go. Raise your hand. Keep your hand up if you want prayer. Great. So you guys, you see a bunch of folks, start gathering around them. Some of you are called to pray. I know some of you servants. There's like over 20 of you guys. Some of you are saying, oh, I need to pray for other people. There you go. Let's care for one another. So let's close with a word of prayer. We'll get back into the time of musical worship. And if you want to pray, then gather around those that want prayer. Maybe they need to be encouraged by you. Maybe God's going to use you to be their answer to their prayer request. If you want to just worship, we could do that too. So let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for gathering us here. Lord, I thank you for those that are here that maybe, God, you knew. And maybe they're going through it this week or today. And they simply need encouragement. They need prayer. They need the love that comes from you through the body of Christ. Can you please simply love them? Can you help them? Remind them, God, that you love them and we love them too. You're the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Please comfort the hearts that are here. Help us to continue to worship you today and every day. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.